Much appreciated. Oh, and tell me, how's your gay son?
Excuse me? I color code all my info. I wrote gay son in green. Green means go, so I know to go ahead and shut up about it. Orange means orange, I'm glad you didn't bring it up. Most colors mean don't say it.
How is Tom, the homosexual sophomore?
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again, pre-draft episode. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. More episodes to come post-draft and leading up to the season. God knows when that's going to start. Hope everyone is staying safe out there, maintaining 6 feet. And I know, Weiss, you wanted to kick the episode off with a COVID-related message.
Yeah, so, obviously, the last time you and I did a podcast was March 20th. Mm-hmm. And the death toll at the time wasn't nearly as bad as it is now. I don't think on March 20th, many people thought it would get this bad. I think on March 20th, a lot of people were looking at this much differently. And there were some that were bracing for the worst. I just want to share with people something. You know, obviously we live in a crazy world and crazy times. I had a good friend who lost his mother to the COVID-19. She was in her early 60s, late 50s. I don't know the exact age, but she was in good health, no pre-existing conditions. Obviously, she was, I don't know if people call 60 old or whatever, but it is impacting a lot of people in this world. And I think for everyone around the world, around the country that are dealing with this, it's very important that we think about other people and not just ourselves. I mean, obviously, we all want to get out. We all want to do stuff. The weather's getting nicer. But it's very important that we think about other people around us in the situation, not just ourselves. And I just wanted to wish everyone in New York send my thoughts and prayers to everyone in New York, everyone around the world dealing with this. New York has been absolutely devastated by this. I think, Ethan, I've told you many times, New York is my favorite place to visit. I live in D.C., but I always find myself visiting New York. I have friends in New York. I work in the city, outside the city, family in New York as well. And everyone's, impacted by this, if not emotionally, physically, but financially. And I just want to take this time and just tell everyone that, please listen, to the medical professionals, listen to your government, listen to what they're saying. This is a serious situation. And I know that, maybe a young guy like me or you or one of the listeners, they might be able to survive this. But for the sake of saving our lives, let's just, do what's best for people around us, not just ourselves. And that's all I wanted to say about that.
We can get started.
But, yeah, I just wanted to send, thoughts and prayers to New York. I'm sure there's somebody listening that's impacted by this. And I just want to say my thoughts and prayers are with everybody. And hopefully, we can minimize the deaths here and we can sort of get life back to normal. And that's the goal here. I think that's everyone's real goal. So I apologize if I offended anyone. I'm not trying to get political. I don't think I got political. I just don't want people to die. That's my goal.
That's a pretty good stance. We are officially an anti-coronavirus podcast.
Yeah. So. That's my thing. I just don't want people to die. That's been my
big fan of that.
Sort of goal behind this.
Yes. So
with that said,
we can
get started.
All right. So let's get into everything then. A nice message to kick off the podcast. Am I coming through loud and clear okay, by the way, to you?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. All righty. So NFL draft coming up, I guess. I guess we dropped this Wednesday, so tomorrow for folks listening on Wednesday.
Yes. It's already here.
It's already here. It really snuck up on me.
Yeah, it did.
I'll just come out and say it. I think this is probably the least nervous I've been for a Giants draft in many years. For a number of reasons. One, because I think they're in a really good spot. I think that based on who's projected to go 1-2, and regardless of what the Lions do at 3, I think the Giants, if they stay put, wind up with a good player regardless. If they trade back, that just means they have more assets. It's something that they should have been doing the last 2 or 3 years, knowing that a rebuild was imminent. So big fan of collecting those assets, as you folks know. And then, you know, this is going to sound a little weird to say, but, you know, and you'll never know until he actually makes the pick, but it seems like the last 2 years have sort of humbled Dave Gettleman to a certain extent, to where he knows that he's fucked up, which is funny, by the way, because you have like the diehard Gettleman fans who basically tell you to fuck off and that you're an idiot, even when Dave himself has come out and said that he was wrong numerous times over the last 2 years. He's been more wrong than right. But the fact that he's been able to come out and admit it, I'm not going to say it's refreshing, but it makes me a little bit less nervous. He understands the state of the franchise and what he needs to do to build it back up. Whether or not he is capable of doing that, to be determined. He's not off to a great start. But I'm really not too nervous. I tweeted out earlier today, this is basically like 4 or 5 players that if picked at 4, I'm not going to be particularly upset over. All guys that I fully get behind and would compliment Dave Gettleman as being a good pick. So with that being said, I'll throw it over to you. Those are my general thoughts going into tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm not nervous. I think there's a you know, about 5 or 6 players, 7 players actually, if you want to count Chase Young, where I will be fine with. I'm sure there are some that I would like more than others.
Right.
But I'm in agreement with you. I think that the Giants realize that the situation they're in, getting more picks. I think the big thing is, will they trade down? They do want to trade down. Will there be an offer where they're willing to take to move down? So I think that they're open to that idea. They're very aggressive, as people have stated, in wanting to move down. So you sort of like that philosophical change where, you know, coming from Dave Gettleman, who's never traded, you know, in his career as a GM. Right. So you like to see stuff like that, changes like that, whether this is something that's going to carry on throughout Dave Gettleman's tenure year, who knows? But you like to see that right now. I also like the fact that he is realized, I think the last episode we did, I harped on the offensive line, how important it was, how it has to be, you know, the rebuilding of the offensive line needs to start now. And I know people say it's already started, but what I mean is heavy investments, a lot of investments through the draft, obviously through free agency and getting this offensive line fixed. And I think that, you know, the Giants realize that too. Dave Gettleman realizes that as well. The offensive line is important. You have to protect your investment of Daniel Jones, the rookie quarterback. I think, you know, the quickest way for the Giants to contend is through the development of Daniel Jones. And in order to really develop Daniel Jones, you're going to have a capable offensive line in front of him. He can't be running for his life. He can't be under pressure often. So rebuilding that offensive line, it not only helps Daniel Jones' development, but it also allows you to sort of dictate the game on offense. When you're able to dominate the line of scrimmage, you can hold the ball for a long time. You can mask a lot of your deficiencies on defense that the Giants are going to have. So I do like that they've put an emphasis on improving the offensive line. They've said it. Now it's about actually doing it and making the right picks.
Yeah.
But again, I'm with you, man. I'm not nervous. I don't think that Dave Gettleman is going to mess this up. I don't want to jinx the situation, but I think we're all sort of in agreement that, hey, you know, this is sort of the draft where it's really hard for Dave Gettleman to mess this one up. Right. And I don't think he will.
I mean,
I don't think
he will. We said that in 18 too. But one thing that I will say, and you know, you can validate this for those listening, and I never ever pretend to be any sort of insider or have any sort of I'll say scoops, but when I have them, I tend to think that they're pretty reliable. And this comes from the same person that did tell me a month in advance that Golden Tate had failed a drug test and was going to be suspended for PEDs. So I do trust the source. And it does make sense. We know that the Maras love to meddle in team affairs. From John Mara down to Chris, who's senior VP of player personnel, they have a hand in things. They've always had a hand in things, mostly for worse. I've been told that the preference would be for the Maras to trade down. Something that Dave Gettleman hasn't done before. So I'm very curious to see if it actually comes to fruition. Although, you know, Joe Judge coming from the Bill Belichick tree obviously knows the benefit of stockpiling assets. So sort of like a two against one scenario there. But I've also been told that the Giants have their eye on Isaiah Simmons, shockingly enough, which goes against some of the hog molly talk that we've been hearing from Dave Gettleman over the last week or two. So we'll see what happens. I would not be upset with Isaiah Simmons. I think he's a very, very talented player. A lot of people seem to think that the fact that he needs to be, you know, schemed is a downside. I just think he's so versatile, it doesn't really matter. But again, the offensive linemen that will be available, I could get behind all of them. Now, what really is making me interested isn't necessarily what the Lions do at three. There's two other teams that I'm curious what you think they're going to do. If I'm the Redskins, man, I'm trading the pick. If I'm at two, and I know the Lions are probably looking to make a deal with someone like Miami or Los Angeles, I'm probably hitting up some teams and say, hey, number two is for sale. Because a team that's as desolate of talent as the Washington Redskins, this is peak Giants 2018, picking second overall, having a rookie quarterback that has serious question marks and a team totally deficient of talent. What are you going to do? If I were Washington, I'd be trying to stockpile assets. So that's team number one. Team number two is the Atlanta Falcons, who have been rumored to wanting to trade all the way up into maybe even the top five, definitely the top 10, for a cornerback, either Okuda or Henderson. So another team to keep your eye on, and maybe sort of an underdog team for the Giants to make a trade with, although going all the way back to 16 might be a little further than people are comfortable with, but you never know. I feel like this is one of those years where in the past I've been able to sort of identify what a smokescreen is, what isn't, and sort of utilize that for my draft bets. This year I've just found myself second-guessing everything. So those two teams are really up in the air for me.
Yeah, I think Washington, I'm with you. I think, you know, speaking to a lot, obviously living in D.C. area, speaking to a lot of Redskins fans, they're all in on Chase Young. He's a local guy, best player in the draft, complete game changer. Take him at two and call it a day. Some say, hey, why not see if we can get a similar haul that we gave the St. Louis Rams when we went traded up to get RG3. So you have to weigh all the options, I think, if you're the Redskins. I think they've made it known that we're listening to offers and we're willing to negotiate if the team is willing to pay, you know, what we're looking for. So I think a lot is going to be known tomorrow, because I think given the circumstances surrounding this draft, I don't think teams want to be on the clock in the first round, you know, on the phone with different GMs trying to make a deal done. I think if, especially teams in the top five, if they're looking to make a trade into, you know, Wednesday afternoon, evening into Thursday morning, is when I think you'll start to see a trade go down. And then I think we'll start to see sort of the flowers blossom on how this thing is going to play out. But I'm with you with the Redskins, and I'm not just saying that because it opens the door of Chase Young falling to four. I think the Redskins should highly entertain trade offers and look to move down Even if they move down to 5 or 6, they're still in that ballpark to probably get a guy that's really highly rated on their board, a guy like Isaiah Simmons, who I've heard that they liked a lot. And when I said heard, I meant read about that they do like Isaiah Simmons a lot. Probably not as much as Chase Young, but given the fact that you can get Isaiah Simmons in a hall of picks, you have to entertain that. It is a new regime there. There's always the chance that they could take a quarterback, although I think it's highly unlikely. But given a new regime, given the struggles of Dwayne Haskins last year, and what we saw the Arizona Cardinals do last year as well, you just never know with a new regime like that. So we'll see. As far as Atlanta, they've done this in the past where they traded
Julio.
From, I believe, 20 – they were 27th, and they moved all the way up to number 6, I believe, to take Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They traded five draft picks, including 3 in that same draft, which was the 2011 draft, and then their first and fourth round picks in the 2012 draft. So they're known for this. They will be aggressive. They really, really like a player. Some say they are sort of targeting the Florida corner, C.J. Henderson, I believe his name is. Or obviously if Okuda somehow falls past the Lions at 3 and the Giants at 4, could they try to make a move up to get the Ohio State corners? So obviously a lot of moving parts to this thing. I think the top 10 is not going to look like what it looks like now. But that's the excitement about the NFL draft, right? There's always a shocker, whether it's Cleveland Farrell going in the top 5,
right?
You know, or a team that we don't suspect would move up for a quarterback moves up for a quarterback. So just buckle your seatbelts, man. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun.
Charlie doesn't hack the NFL.
I've been thinking about that, actually, not about China hacking, but just like, I mean, there's so many GMs that are just not tech savvy. And the fact that they're doing this over video, I mean, you know that people are going to try to hack in some sort of DDoS attack. Something funky is going to happen. I've been of the opinion that maybe they should just do it, like have every player and GM entering the NFL draft sign like a non-disclosure agreement and basically tell everyone to shut the fuck up, do it 2 hours earlier, pre-recorded, so that they can't get hacked, and then basically just air it whenever. So
the NFL could not keep a secret if their life depended on
it. I know. It's whatever. It's going to be a disaster, and I can't wait to watch. So that was fun. We're about to have some fun. Why don't you tell everyone what we're going to be doing for the rest of the pod?
So we are doing a mock draft simulator. It's through Pro Football Network. Shout out to them. They have an awesome simulation, and it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Realistic trades. Obviously, we're going to be the Giants. We're going to take turns taking picks. I'm Dave Gettleman. Ethan is going to be Chris Pettit. His dog Boomer is going to be Kevin Abrams. And we're going to run the draft. We're doing it from different locations. I'm in my home in D.C. I have my laptop with my own personal big board. I got my big iMac that's going to, you know, has a screen of the virtual draft. I'm going to see who's taking. I have, you know, a couple of phones next to me. We're going to call people, see if anyone wants to make trades.
There you go.
And we are going to see if we can make the Giants better. I think it's time that the Giants become a good football team. And it's going to start with this draft. I always see people tell me, hey, why don't you be the GM? You think you know more than them.
We are going
to be the GM right now. We're going to see if we can, you know, draft some really good players. All right? So we're going to start the simulation. Ethan, you can see my screen.
Yep.
And the folks can't see our screen. We'll try our best to sort of tell them where things are, who's still on the board, who's no longer on the board. But we'll just take turns. And obviously we'll see what we can do. So with the first overall pick, Joe Burrow, Redskins stay at 2. They take Chase Young.
Ooh.
Isaiah Simmons goes 3.
Interesting. There you go. Okay.
Here's your first little twist to this draft. So the Giants are there at 4. Obviously, I know Jacksonville and Atlanta are valuing Okuda from Ohio State. I know Miami and LA, despite what the reports say, I know they could be targeting a quarterback. So my first call is going to be to Miami. because I do think that they have I know that they have a lot of draft picks. So I'm going to see if I can move back one spot and get an extra draft pick.
All right. So Weiss is currently offering a first-round pick swap, so 4 for 5.
Yeah.
And which other pick? And the 56th pick?
Well, I'm going to try and see if they'll take give me another first-round pick.
Okay.
I'll go with 26.
Let's see.
So they don't want to give me one of their first-round picks. So if they're not going to give me 26, I know they're not going to give me 18 either. So we're going to do a pick swap. And they do have a couple of seconds, too. Let's see if they give me 39. So 4 for the 5th pick and the 39th pick. No, they don't want to give me 39 either. Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to see if they will give me 56. You want to see if they will give me 56? You want to call the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Let's see if 56 is on the table.
Okay, 56. There you go. So our first trade was we gave the Miami Dolphins the number 4 pick. We got the 5th pick, and we got the 56th pick, which is the second-round pick in the draft.
So now, are we able to undo that and see what else we could have done?
So you can't undo a trade.
Okay.
You can restart the draft, but you can't undo it.
All right, so let's roll with that.
So let's roll, see what happens. Remember, we can always trade back again. Nothing wrong with that. So let's see what Miami does at 4. They take Tua Tagovailoa. Here we are at 5. Okuda's still on the board. Derek Brown is there. I know you love hog mollies. You know I love hog mollies. See if you can talk me out of that. But let's see what you're going to do at 5.
So now it's my turn.
Yeah, so you tell me what you want to do. You want to entertain more trade offers? You want to take a pick and not mess around?
Yeah, let's see. Man, I really...
Akuda being there has me sort of like, let me call around and see if the Jaguars want to move up for Akuda.
Let's call the Jags because I don't want to move all the way back to 16. So let's see if the Jags want to trade up. Because who knows, maybe they have their – I doubt it, but maybe they have their eye on Herbert and they want to jump L.A. at 6.
All right, so I'm not going to pick up Thomas Dimitriall's phone. He keeps calling me. He wants Okuda. I don't want to move down that far. He's offering me a bag of popcorns and some donuts. I'm not doing that. So we'll see if they do 9 and 20. Let's get another first-round pick from them. Oh, they don't want to give it to first. So let's see if they'll give me another second. Let's see if I can get – 42, and let me see if I can get a late round pick as well, maybe 137. Bam. So I've added 137. I've added another second round pick, number 42, and now I'm picking 9th.
So now I like this. So now the Giants have 3 second round picks,
right?
And now they're picking 9th overall. I dig it. I dig this so far.
There you go. And there you go. The Jaguars took Okuda. Herbert went to the Chargers, and Andrew Thomas went to the Carolina Panthers, and Tristan Wirfs went to the Arizona Cardinals. So you're sitting there at 9.
Oh, wow. This is awesome. This is great. So I'm not going to go Derek Brown. Jerry Jeudy is out of the picture right now. CJ Henderson, talented, but the Giants obviously invested heavily in their secondary, both in the draft and in free agency. Mecky Becton, I'm sort of still scarred from Eric Flowers, so I'm going to go with Jedrick Wills. Offensive tackle, Alabama. The Giants get, I think at the very worst, they get their right tackle for the next 10 years. Maybe he can move over to left tackle and sort of kick Nate Solder out of there.
Yep. So there you go. You got Jedrick Wills. Remember, Alabama coaches, they're going to be pushing hard for him.
Exactly.
So the first round is going on. A lot of names coming off the board. A lot of trades are happening as well.
All right. We'll recap this once we get back to the Giants' second round pick.
Right. So now we are at 36.
All right, so let's do a little recap.
Right. So
we picked Jedrick Wills at 9.
Right. Detroit, who made a trade out of the top 10, they traded back into the top 10, surprisingly. They gave up their second-round pick, their third-round pick, pick 149, which I believe is their 5th, and they gave up a first-round pick next year.
Holy crap.
It's C.J. Henderson. Wow, they must really like C.J. Henderson.
Love C.J. Henderson, and after they gave up Darius Slay, they need a replacement.
So look at their haul. They get Isaiah Simmons at 3, and then they get C.J. Henderson at 10. The Jets, they go Jerry Jeudy. Henry Ruggs III goes to Las Vegas. Kenneth Murray, I know some Giants fans like him. He goes to Tampa Bay. C.D. Lamb goes to Denver and not Philadelphia. Big win. Derek Brown goes to Dallas. Mekhi Becton falls all the way to 21 to Philly. Wow. Must be the failed drug test. Jaguars use pick 20 to get Justin Jefferson. And Jordan Love goes number 19 overall to the Raiders. Keep going down. Cesar Ruiz, a potential pick at 36. He goes to San Francisco at 31. And Patrick Queen, who was another guy I was sort of hoping I could target at 36.
Yep.
Goes to Miami.
And then two guys who I was sort of hoping would fall to the Giants in the second round, although unlikely. Yetergros Matos, defensive end from Penn State, and A.J. Epinesa from Iowa.
Yep. So a couple of defensive guys we wish we'd get, but we still at 36, and I look at the board, and I look at my board, and I got Xavier McKinney still there, and I got Antoine Winfield, who I have a first-round draft grade on. And personally, Ethan, I think we should take him. What do you think? I think that's our free safety. We put him next to
Antoine Winfield.
Yes, Antoine Winfield Jr.
I'm a fan of that. So let's see. But before you make that selection, just a who's who of who's left. Jonathan Taylor, no thank you. No running backs. Jalen Reagor, he's an interesting one. Just because it's a deep, not for the Giants. Just because it's a deep receiver class, I think he's going to fall. He's a really talented guy who just didn't have a good quarterback at all. Someone who I think sneakily could go in the first round, actually.
Me too. Yep. I think, especially in the back end of that first round. To me, I sort of have the option of Xavier McKinney and Antoine Winfield. I have Antoine Winfield Jr. rated a little bit higher, the two safeties. I know my Alabama coaching staff, you know, I'm sure they're, you know, Joe Judge is going to be pushing hard for McKinney, his Alabama background, but I think we're all in the green. Antoine Winfield, to me, is the better player. I could remember, I also have pick 42 and pick 56. So I own the second round. Dave Gettleman owns the second round here. we're gonna take Antoine Winfield. Not going to field any calls, although I hope in real life the Giants field every call.
Right afterwards, the Eagles take Jalen Reagor.
Yep, the Eagles take Jalen Reagor. They get the receiver. Xavier McKinney then goes to Carolina. Jonathan Taylor goes to Miami, and another safety, Grant Delpit, from LSU, goes to Cincinnati. So I'm at 42, and I'm going to listen to you, and here we are. We got a couple names still on the board. Let's see, what do you want to do? You want to address the pass rush, the center? How do we want to go?
This is tough. So Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle, he's still available. T. Higgins is available. Oh, man. I also could go for a second round of Okwara and address the pass rush.
You could add another young pass rusher to the pool that we've sort of, you know, created with a lot of the young players that we have.
Screw it. We're going Isaiah Wilson.
Isaiah Wilson, wow. Doubling on that offensive line.
We're all about the offensive line this year.
We've added two tackles in this draft, Isaiah Wilson and Jedrick Willis. Not bad.
With the goal of moving on from Nate Solder after this season.
Right, and there you have your two replacements ready. So now I'm at 56, and I just want to say the Giants have now gone from really no tackle depth to having a lot of tackle depth using a first and a second round.
Yep.
So I'm at 56. One guy I was targeting is Zach Bond from Wisconsin. He's off the board.
I didn't even see his name on your screen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me make my screen bigger. Again, listen, I got to get the computer folks in here. So I sit at 56. I know that I don't have another pick until 99 in the third round. Let me see if I can get into that. Let me see if I can get an additional late round pick. And let me see if I can move into round three.
Okay.
So I'm going to call up. I'm going to call up a team that is known for trades, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm going to ask Baltimore, hey, I know you want to target some defensive linemen or some receivers. Why don't you give me 60 and 106? So I won't get a third, but I'll be able to get an extra fourth, and let's see what they say. They want to do a deal. Let me see if Cincinnati, at the top of the third round, is willing to talk. We'll get 56, so I'll move down 9 spots, and I'll get an extra fourth-round pick. Let's see.
Nobody wants to
make a deal. No takers. I could take a receiver here. But I really, really, really want to see if I can get a pass rusher. Curtis Weaver, a guy from Boise State, I do like a lot. Can he play? He'd be a very good 3-4 outside linebacker. You know, so I think I'm gonna take him at 56. At 56, he's rating in the second round. I tried to move back, but I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna take Curtis Weaver out of Boise State and add him to my pool of pass rushers. So we've addressed. We've got two tackles and two defensive players so far. Let's see what else.
A lot of talented running backs going in the second.
Yes. So the second round is now complete with the.
I don't think we've even had a. I mean, this isn't really surprising to me. I don't think. Oh, there goes Matt Hennessy, round three. I don't think we've had a tight end. Oh, there we go. The Jets just took a tight end.
The Dolphins took a tight end. And Jets. The Jets took a tight end. Right. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, Logan Wilson, the guy from Wyoming, I was targeting him in the third round of 99. Hopefully I could talk you into it, but he's off the board. Willie Gay, another pass rusher. So we're sitting at 99 coming up.
And okay, here we are.
Here we are.
Oh, boy. I got my eye on two guys here.
Who are those two guys?
Donovan Peoples-Jones,
okay,
and Chase Claypool.
I really like Chase Claypool. I think he won't be available in 99 on Thursday, but for the sake of this draft, I think he'll be gone.
Let's do it. We're pulling the trigger on Chase Claypool at 99.
At the worst, we got a guy that can play day one, maybe a wide receiver two or three.
Yep.
But this is definitely a guy that will help us.
With Golden Tate's age and Sterling Shepard's mashed potatoes brain. Doesn't hurt.
Right. So now here we are at 110. I'm looking at things. I got two picks in the fourth round. I got pick 110 and I got pick 137. So I could entertain some offers, but I really, really like inside linebacker Troy Dye from Oregon. Good coverage guy. Three down linebacker at the next level. I think he's a guy that can sort of be like what man, oh, man, I'm Wisconsin linebacker, Torres ACL. Ryan Conley, I'm sorry. I'm old.
All,
remember,
all
I'm
good. I would have helped you out, but I got distracted by Boomer over here.
So there you go. So I got Troy Dye, inside linebacker, more defensive help for the Giants. I believe he can, if the Giants are able to land him, I believe he can compete for a starting job throughout the season and potentially get more snaps as the season goes along. So with 110, we take Troy Dye out of Oregon. So, draft continues. We're seeing Devin Asiasi, the tight end from UCLA, who I was targeting. He's gone. Bryce Hall, the corner, is gone. Let's see where we end up. We are closing in on 137. All right, 137. Here we go.
Can we filter by position?
Sure.
So filter tight ends.
So tight ends. Mm. Not a lot of talent here at the tight end position in this draft, in my opinion.
No.
Not a lot of tight ends.
No.
So it's tough to – I wish we could have a player that we can have need meets value, but taking one of these tight ends, I mean, I don't know. We could field some calls. It's tough. I mean, Jake Fromm is there. We could see if a team wants to move up to take him.
You want to see if the Patriots want to move up two spots for Fromm and see if we can get an extra pick?
Sure. Joe Judge has Bill Belichick on speed dial.
Yep.
Let's see if we can get.
Yeah, make it later. Make it a later pick.
Okay, so we're going to swap picks.
Yeah.
See if we can get an extra seven. You know, these seventh round picks will be valuable because with the undrafted guys, you know, it's going to be a mess after this draft trying to get drafted guys. If we're able to get as many seventh round picks as possible, moving down two spots. Oh, man.
Trade decline. Give us seven. Tough customer.
Bill, man, he doesn't want to give anything up. Let's see if he'll give up two spots. Let's see if he'll give up 230.
Trade decline. Tough customer.
Tough customer, yep. So we're sitting there. There's some guys on the board, but it's tough. We could go Davion Taylor, another outside linebacker. We could go interior offensive line. Obviously, Antonio Gandy-Golden, good receiver from Liberty. Yeah. Could add another receiver to the mix.
Natani Muti.
Who want to go Muti, the guard.
Do we want to give Saquon a little backup running back help or no? Because of Deion Lewis.
I mean, it's tough. You know, Saquon is a talented back, but we definitely need to get a solid running back too back there. Deion Lewis is a short-term answer.
Let's go Natani Muti.
Natani Muti, the interior guard. Hopefully he can develop into a future starter for this team. But for the time being, we continue to add more young talent to our offensive line.
More depth.
Wow, Jake Fromm goes to Kansas City.
Interesting.
Yeah. Eagles close out the fourth round. Now we're in the fifth round. We're at 150. That's our pick. We didn't trade for that pick. I'm looking at this. I see some corners I like. Dane Jackson. Kamal Martin, another outside linebacker I do like. Obviously, a guy we could look at is Thaddeus Moss from LSU. We could finally take a running back. Antonio Gibson is a guy that I sort of do like a little bit. Good player, quality player at Memphis. So I'm going to say we use this fifth round pick, and we're going to take Antonio Gibson. We didn't take a running back in the last round, right?
Nope.
We took a guard. So I think we're going to take Antonio Gibson with the 150th pick in the draft.
All right. And our next pick is?
Our next pick is going to be in the sixth round.
Yes. Thaddeus Moss to the Dolphins. Kamal Martin to the Bucks. Sadiq Charles to stays local with the Saints. Jonah Jackson to the Bengals.
Yeah, so seeing how the board fell, I was hoping we could get Nick Harris, the center out of Washington.
Yeah.
And six weren't able to do that.
What's the center position looking like?
Center position? Let's see. Not a lot.
not great, Bob.
Not great, yeah. So we gotta see. You know, Anthony Jennings, another defensive lineman out of Alabama, is there. You know, sort of. There's the LaMichael Perrin. Excuse me, Joe Reed, another receiver. Trajan Bandy, the cornerback from Miami.
I was looking at Trajan Bandy. Oh, man. We've already got a safety early in the draft. We've got two tackles. We don't need any more hog mollies. What about Anfernee Jennings?
Anfernee Jennings is a guy I did like a lot.
3-year starter, another Bama guy. So there's the familiarity there. We know the Giants are big on familiarity. Great against the run.
Great against the run. That means, you know, I like him a lot. I'm Dave Gettleman.
Yes, you are Dave Gettleman.
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Let's go Anfernee Jennings. We're hoping we can get our coaching staff to develop him into more of a pass rusher.
Yep.
But again, got a defensive lineman added to the equation. Sixth round is winding down. Remember, guys, we didn't have the luxury of picking the players that we want. I would have loved to go in there and grab a center, but just didn't find one in any of the rounds that we could target. So probably going to have to look at the seventh round and see if we can get somebody. But obviously we're seeing what's happening with the board. Sixth round is up into the seventh. And we do have a couple of picks in the seventh round. We have 218, 238, 247, and 255. So this is... We have a lot of seventh-round picks. So here in the seventh round, the Giants finally take a center, Calvin Throckmorton from Oregon. Again, Oregon, they have developed some good offensive linemen in the past. He is a guy that I think, you know, we value in the seventh round. So we're going to take him. And hopefully, you know, in the coming years, this can be our starting center. But we're sort of going to have to go into camp, training camp, with sort of open competition at center between Spencer Pulley, obviously Calvin Throckmorton, and hopefully John Jalapio can get healthy and we can get him sort of.
Saw him doing some workouts on Twitter the other day.
Yeah, it's working out. So here we are again, 238. You know, we could, looking at the board.
Let's see.
One guy I've liked is Lamar Jackson.
I was about to say, let's do it. Let's get Lamar Jackson some secondary depth here.
I did Lamar Jackson, the corner from Nebraska, 238. And again, guys, stay tuned. We're
two more.
Be right back here. And 247. Looking at it, a lot of people don't like him. And I know we've already taken a safety and we have good secondary up. I like Jordan Fuller there. I look at the rest of the board. Not a lot of, you know, it's a lot of names that running backs are still there.
A lot of quarterbacks. One guy,
Jonathan Garvin, another pass rusher I like. Bryce Huff, the outside linebacker from Memphis, is a guy I've watched a little bit about, read a little bit about. Chris Williamson, the corner out of Minnesota, is a guy I've liked. Jordan Fuller, I've already mentioned him. But just looking at this situation, looking at where we are, I think I'm going to pull the trigger on going to actually go ahead. We're going to discuss it, obviously, like we do all of our picks, but I'm going to go ahead and take Jonathan Garvin, the outside linebacker, another pass rusher, to the mix. And we're going to just continue to stockpile on young pass rushers. Hopefully we can develop some of them. And with the last pick in the draft, I'll let you finish it off. Let's see what's there.
Wow.
You can look at kicker.
Ooh.
It's popped up.
Ooh.
Blankenship.
My favorite. Yeah. But not going to go there. Let's go. Oh, man. This is just so tough. Just everything's pretty irrelevant. Let's go Bryce Huff, your boy.
Bryce Huff, Memphis. So another pass rusher added to the board. And that concludes the 2018 draft. So to recap, we started out by trading the fourth pick to the Miami Dolphins for the fifth pick and pick 56. We then took the fifth pick and traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars for pick 9, pick 42, and pick 137. So here's our draft. The ninth pick, we took Jedrick Willis, Alabama, day one starter. 36, we took Antoine Winfield Jr. 42, we took Isaiah Williamson.
Again, Wilson.
Isaiah Wilson, I'm sorry. A guy that we sort of valued as a guy that can go in the first round. Listen, might not be able to start from day one, but if you have your two young offensive tackles in their rookie contract starting next year, that is a big win for the Giants. 56, we took Curtis Weaver, the defensive end from Boise State. We then added a wide receiver at pick 99, Chase Claypool, fan favorite. A lot of fans do like him. At 110, I think is going to be a guy that fans do like a lot, and that's Troy Dye. Inside linebacker, Oregon, a guy that can cover, something that the Giants desperately need. At 137, we took Netani Muti, the guard from Fresno State, another offensive lineman. At 150, we took Antonio Gibson, the running back from Memphis, a potential backup to Saquon. He's going to come into camp, if there is a training camp, he's going to compete, see if he can earn himself some snaps. At 183, we took Anthony Jennings, a run-stopping defensive lineman. Listen, you know, what is Dave Gettleman's famous line? Big men allow you to compete. Anthony Jennings is a big dude. At 218, I know fans are going to be like, how can you wait till 218 to address the center? Well, we tried. We just didn't. We came across guys who rated higher, and we're not going to just draft by need. So we took Calvin Throckmorton from Oregon, second Oregon player we took. 238, a player that I think you and I both liked, Lamar Jackson, cornerback, Nebraska. I'm going to add him to the pool of young corners. And then 247 and 255, we took Jonathan Garvin, outside linebacker, Miami, another edge pass rusher, and 255, Bryce Hupp. So what we did in this draft was we addressed the offensive line, specifically the tackles. We got ourselves a coverage safety, a guy that can cover the deep of the field, perfect complement to Jabril Peppers. And we added a bunch of young pass rushers. A lot of guys we can just throw into the mix with the guys that we've drafted.
And not only that, we also acquired assets. We went from 10 picks to 13 picks.
Right. So if you look at our checklist of what things that we wish that we can address, offensive line, we feel like we've done that. Two tackles that we could probably start from day one. There'll be struggles, but they are capable of plug-and-play guys. But also, we had the luxury of developing these guys because
and not only that, it's the luxury of depth. I mean, it's very, very rare both your tackles or everyone on your offensive line makes it through an entire NFL season fully intact. You know, if Jedrick Wills, God forbid, goes down, you have someone that can step right up and give you a high level of play.
And you also, you're not drafting for just next year. You're drafting for the next 10
or five. Right? Yeah. 10 if Jedrick Wills becomes your franchise left or right tackle.
Right, so you get your franchise left and right tackle on a rookie deal for 4 years. I mean, that's a huge plus to have because we know how expensive tackles can be. We saw it with Nate Solder. We're seeing with some of these insane contracts being handed out. So we got more assets. We traded down twice and stayed in the top 10 and still got a highly rated offensive tackle. We checked the box of getting a true free safety that can cover, you know, the deep middle of the field, and Antoine Winfield Jr., day one starter. And then we got pass rushers, Curtis Weaver, Jonathan Garvin, Bryce Huff, guys that we know probably not going to be day one starters, but guys that can develop into something. And that's what I think the importance of this is for the Giants. If they can continue to add young pass rushers and develop these guys, then you start building depth there, and I think that's important. Obviously, we didn't get our center. That was something we needed to do in this draft, but the board just fell in different ways. But we still were able to land a center in the seventh round that we can sort of throw into the mix and compete and hopefully come out of it. And, that's our draft. Jedrick Willis at 9, Antoine Winfield 36, Isaiah Williamson from Georgia, Curtis Weaver at 56, Chase Claypool 99, Troy Dye 110, Natani Muti at 137, Antonio Gibson at 150, 183 was Anthony Jennings from Alabama, Calvin Throckmorton, the center from Oregon at 218, 238 Lamar Jackson, 247 Jonathan Garvin, and 255 Bryce Huff.
There you go.
If Dave Gettleman can get a similar haul like that and add a bunch of young players like I think we just did, easier said than done. I think we'll walk away pretty happy with this draft. But I think you and I will walk away and say, hey, we added some talent. We can't address everything in one draft, but we added some good players.
There it is.
That's it.
Cool. Getting
more draft capital, you know, addressing your offensive line, adding more young pass rushers, true free safety, and center. Those are the five things. We're able to do four or five of those. And depending on what happens with our seventh round pick center that we took, maybe we can check off all of our boxes. All
right. There it is.
There it is.
Should we do some questions?
Fun. We should.
All right. Let me find the tweet.
By the way, guys, you can do your own mock draft, Pro Football.
This was fun. Yeah. I recommend it.
Yeah. You guys can go there and do it. Trades, got to be realistic. You can't sit here and get the team's entire draft class. You will get declined, as we did many times.
Yes. Okay, it's a good question from our good friend Will. He asked me a question the other week about wide receiver playing time. I'm curious what your answer is going to be. Of Slayton, Shepard, and Tate, rank the three in terms of number of snaps played in 2020.
I'm going to say first, I think Darius Slayton is going to be a starting receiver for this team on the outside. Second is going to be And I think Golden Tate, it's tough between Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard. Yeah. I think it's going to be whoever's the most healthiest.
Yeah.
But I think on the depth chart, they're both 2 and 3, 2A and 2B, if you want to call them that. They're both very similar. And if the Giants add a receiver sometime in this draft class, he's going to be in it. You have Corey Coleman as well that you brought back. So going into it, I think it's going to be Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate.
Okay. I think I had it Tate, Slayton, Shepard, but close. We got this question a lot. Fill in the blank. We go scorched earth when the player the Giants pick is blank. Who is your worst case scenario?
This is going to surprise people, it's not going to surprise people. I'm sorry, but I will be really mad if they take Derek Brown. Yeah. Not surprising.
Not surprising.
But I will be really mad if they take Justin Herbert.
Yeah, those are the two guys.
Here's the thing. Justin Herbert might turn out to be a good quarterback, might be better than Daniel Jones. I don't know. I'm not saying that. The thing about it is, and I hate to do this, but it just doesn't make any sense to me that you give a GM another shot at a quarterback a year later after firing the head coach. That just doesn't sit right with me. He doesn't deserve that benefit of the doubt. And plus, I'm not buying all this Justin Herbert noise. I think the Giants really want to trade down and are really trying to do whatever they can to make that happen.
Yeah, I agree. Do you guys like the idea of moving down from 36 for more assets? It's from Monty. Yeah, I mean, we moved down how many times? Twice? Three times?
Yeah, twice in, twice. In the top 10.
And we tried to move down even more. Always a fan of acquiring more assets. I mean, hey, we traded back twice. We got 3 extra picks, and we still picked top 10.
Yeah, I mean, we added 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 players.
Yeah.
If we can get four starters out of that draft class, I mean, we've got a success, right?
100%. From Mike, what's the latest you could see Gettleman trading down in the draft? His quote, "I've seen teams miss on good talent for trading down," quote, makes it sound like no later than the 6th pick.
I think Gettleman will trade down as far as, the offer. Like, if a team comes – like, if the Atlanta Falcons come to Dave Gettleman and say, "Dave, I want the 4th pick. I'll give you everything that I have this year," right? Or my first, second, and third round pick, right? And then next year I'll give you my first and second. And then the year after I'll give you my second round pick. I think you have to entertain it. This is my thing with Dave Gettleman is in 2018 was that he never really listened to offers. I wasn't saying you have to accept an offer. My issue was you don't really listen to offers, but now you're willing to listen. I don't mind. You can go down as far as you want. The more at-bats you have, the more chances you have to hit a home run.
Sure.
So whether it's trading down to 16, trading it to 9, trading it to 5, the more picks you can get, especially in a really good draft class like this, it's so deep. I mean, look at it. You can get a starting caliber receiver in the 4th round.
Yeah.
We got Chase Claypool at 99. This is a guy that could potentially start day one. Now, I don't think there's going to be as many wide receiver ones in this draft. I think there's only a select few of them, maybe like 4 or 5. But in terms of wide receiver twos, contributors, guys that can give you solid contributions. I mean, I think Chase Claypool at 99 is a steal for the Giants.
Yeah.
So just look at the depth. I mean, it's a very, very deep class. And I think that the more picks you have, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. All right, last question. This one's interesting. Somehow the Giants trade down. Mekhi Becton is the only offensive tackle left out of the top four. After his flag sample, would you still take him? If not, who else?
So I traded down, and the only one of the big four offensive tackles available is Mekhi Becton from Louisville. Failed the drug test. The thing about Becton is his upside is so high. And the reason why a lot of people don't like him is because the type of offense that Louisville ran, he didn't have to be in a natural pass protection as much. So people are wary, can he be a pass protecting left tackle? To me, I got to see who else is on the board. But I'm not going to shy away from taking back. I know Giants fans don't want to hear about raw offensive tackle.
Yeah. Because and I said that earlier, but I will give some more hope. Mark Colombo. That's all I'll say.
Plus, I think Becton is a much better player than Eric Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
You know how crazy this offensive tackle class is? Like, people say, well, you can get offensive linemen in any class. If you take the two offensive tackles that went first in last year's class, it was Tyus Howard, I think his name is, that went to Houston, and Andre Dillard, who went to Philly last year, right? Yep. And you put them in this draft class, they're probably going after those big four.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those four guys are 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it's, you know, then it's Andre Dillard and Tyus Howard, who were the two first offensive tackles taken in last year's class. That just tells you how much talent is in this draft class at offensive tackle. And maybe Isaiah Williamson goes ahead of Tyus Howard as well, who the Giants got at 42.
Right.
There's a lot of talent here on the offensive line.
Cool. I think that's it. I think we're done. Any final thoughts before the draft?
That was a good mock draft.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'll say this. Let's make some predictions. Obviously, we did our mock draft, right? What we would do. Do you think the Giants trade down on Thursday?
Do I think the Giants trade down on Thursday?
We know they want to. Will they be able to get an offer?
Yes.
I'm with you. I think so too.
Yep.
I think when you're motivated, you can make a deal work.
And not only that, I think the fact that we know that the Maras want to trade back, I think it happens.
Yeah.
Because we know that that's sort of the end all be all.
Yeah.
So I'm
going to put you on the spot at this one. Do they take an offensive tackle, or do you think this is going to be Isaiah Simmons?
I think it depends on how far they trade back. I mean, it depends on a lot of things. If they trade back and he's available, yes.
So you think the Giants will do something that they've never done since 1983?
Yeah.
Banks?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think you sort of combine the two things, right? If it's the Maras trading back with Dave Gettleman touting the fact that he thinks he can find offensive line talent deeper in the draft, you can combine those two things, right? You trade back, so you're getting more assets later in the draft for the offensive linemen, and you also get Isaiah Simmons. So,
well, I think Gettleman wants to trade back. He definitely wants to trade back, right? And I think the Maras want to trade back even more.
I don't know that he definitely does, though. I mean, think about it. This is the guy that came out and basically said he thought he could have been fired this past offseason. That's how bad the team was. I just have a hard time believing that this guy is thinking about depth picks and picks in later years. I think he just wants the most talented guy he could possibly get to save his job.
What he's looking at, and I'll give you a counter. What happens if he's saying, I don't need to worry about next year's picks. I can get more picks this year.
In theory, you know, the person you're picking it for, and of course this depends on how you have your big board ranked, is going to be more talented than someone you take at 9 or 16.
True, but I mean at 9, if you could still get an offensive tackle, that's
right. Listen, it worked out for us in the mock that we did. We still got a tackle that we were thrilled with, and also in our mock. Sorry, excuse me. Drinking some seltzer. Had a nice burp there. In the mock we did, I believe Isaiah Simmons went 3 to the Lions anyway. So it was Okuda that people were competing for when we were on the clock to trade back. So it was sort of irrelevant in our scenario anyway.
That is true.
Yeah. But this could get wild, man. I mean, and honestly, I think this is going to be a year we see more trades than normal because of the whole technological aspect of it. I think teams are going to really try to get these things done before they're on the clock. So yeah. I think the framework for a lot of trade backs are going to be in place starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be like, hey, if so-and-so is there for, I'm ready to make this deal with you.
Yep.
Sort of type thing, right? Whereas, like, for example, Jeffrey Okuda, if he passes three, Giants there at four, Jacksonville might be saying, hey, I'm ready to offer you X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Dave will say yes. Then, so this stuff is agreed on. The parameters are agreed on prior to. But I'm excited because I've always wanted to be a team that trades back. And I think we're finally going to be that team.
Finally.
I truly – if you look at John Schneider's history of trading back, he hasn't been good in terms of drafting players. But he's been able to get more at-bats and find some hidden gems later in the rounds because he's been able to, you know, stockpile as many picks as possible.
Yeah.
I really do think if we can stay in that top 10, move back, still get a quality player, add an extra second-round pick, that'll be a great day one for me for the Giants.
100%.
And you know what, even the crazy thing about this is if you move back a couple spots and let's say there's a player there that teams like, you might be able to get a second offer too.
Right.
You know, with Atlanta and Jacksonville maybe fighting for a corner. I mean, we're hearing C.J. Henderson might be going in the top 10. So it's fun. I'm excited.
Me too.
Only a couple long shot things. Like in previous years, there were things that we thought are legitimately can happen that would piss us off, right?
That's the thing. Yeah, right.
You know, in this draft, there's the stuff that pisses off is like a complete long shot.
Right.
Like I know.
Like
I know
Herbert and Brown.
Likes, yeah, like I get it. Dave Gannon probably likes Derek Brown. He's a good prospect. He's a
great very prospect.
Just, you know, I don't think for the Giants, so many resources to interior defensive line. It just doesn't make sense. Now in this class, when you have so many great offensive tackles.
Right.
So it's a long shot, but I think they do what I hope they don't do. So I'm happy about that. But I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Me too.
I think the Giants can get a lot better from this class. This is a very good draft class.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
Cool. All right. Coming up on an hour. Right. Should we wrap it up?
Yes, we should.
All right. So, and if you can, you should download the draft or screenshot it or whatever so that we could tweet it out with the episode so people can follow along. So let me know if that's possible with the trade details too. I think that would be interesting. Full results. Yeah, that should work. Right?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. All right. That's it for us. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. That's it. We'll probably record an episode for you guys after the draft, but TBD on when that gets put out. We will talk to you soon.
Peace.